Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. And I want to thank you so much for being with me last week, the 200th show. Wow, that was just great, great fun. Now we're back to recorded music, but the 200th show stays in my mind. It was terrific. And I'm glad you're with me, because I'd be forced to endure the pain of bronchiectasis if I had to shoulder the burden of knowing that you had missed today's show. Engagement, motivating and measuring. What is real engagement with your networks? How do you achieve it? What are the right metrics to know whether you're succeeding? My guests are Lauren Girardin, marketing and communications consultant, and Shari Ilson, director of engagement at Volunteer Match, that was recorded at N10's Nonprofit Technology Conference, NTC. And Facebook strategies. Drew Bernard is CEO of Action Sprout, and he's got the tools, strategies, and tactics to find your supporters among your Facebook fans. That was also reported at and recorded at NTC. On Tony's Take Two, it's summer. I hope you're taking real time off. We're sponsored by Generosity Series, hosting multi-charity 5K runs and walks, generosityseries.com. Here's the first of the recordings from NTC on engagement. Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of Nonprofit Technology Conference, NTC 2014. The hashtag is 14NTC. With me now are Lauren Girardin and Shari Ilson. Lauren is a marketing and communications consultant, and Shari Ilson is director of engagement for Volunteer Match. Ladies, welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Glad you're both with me. Thank you very much. Your workshop topic is You Can Capture Lightning in a Bottle, Motivating and Measuring Engagement. So let's start with Lauren, and let's start with motivating engagement. What should nonprofits be doing a little differently and better about real engagement?
The trick with the way to motivate engagement is to keep ramping it up. So often we'll get our communities and our audiences involved in our cause, and we ask for the same things over and over again, and it's really about figuring out what people have already done and then getting them to take that next step. So if they've liked your Facebook page, to get them to sign a petition, to really keep saying, there's more and more you can do. We want you to get more emotionally involved with our cause and with our organization.
And Shari, just liking a Facebook page, that's not real engagement.
Well, no, but it is important to remember that it can be the first step.
It's a start.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just, I think to what Lauren said, it's about never being fully satisfied, always thinking about how you can get that person and that particular person more engaged.
Okay. And let's stay with you and let's talk about what forms engagement might take, whether it be Facebook or otherwise. I mean, we have plenty of time together, you know, a good 25 minutes or so, so we'll have a chance to flesh out some topics. But what does engagement mean to the two of you?
I think that's a great question, because the truth is, engagement means something very different depending on the goals of your organization. And so it's always important to keep those in mind. For Volunteer Match, we reach out to different audiences to help connect nonprofits and volunteers. So with our nonprofits, our goal is to get them to use our technology that we provide for free to connect with potential volunteers to help with their missions.
Okay.
And so engagement might be simply learning about what we do, or it might be coming to a webinar, or it might be just following us on Facebook so they can begin to build that relationship with us as a trusted resource.
Okay, and Lauren, let's talk about going real engagement. What is that? What might else that mean?
Yeah, it's depending on what your organization does. So I work with a lot of clients who work with teens and youth. And so for them, engagement takes a different model than it might for if you're trying to engage nonprofits. So they often will be trying to get youth to become more involved directly in the community. So actually to take their sort of online fandom and their online passion and convert that into actual action in person. So whether it's getting them to write a letter to their congressperson, or to get them to even just register to vote, which is a big challenge with youth today, is to get them really directly involved in kind of real world engagement. And so some of this is shifting your digital audiences into that new sort of engagement, which can be a challenge because very often our communications channels are online.
And I've had as a guest Aria Finger, COO of Do Something.
Yeah.
And they are notoriously good at engaging, 13 to 25 year olds? Right, right. Mm-hmm. And she's been on the show a couple of times talking about exactly that. They do a lot with mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I assume your clients, Cherry, are doing that? Lauren?
Yeah, no, DoSomething.org is a wonderful example of using online and digital communications to get real world engagement. They're actually in one of the first nonprofits to use Snapchat to take their audiences into new engagement levels, and actually using them in another session at N10 on Saturday as an example of really using these emerging technologies to drive engagement in whole new ways. And that's they're doing an excellent job with that audience, and they're looked to often as a model by other organizations.
And the lesson for organizations that may not be capturing or trying to engage 13 to 25 year olds is go where your constituents are.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really about, you know, when we, in our session, we're talking about when you are, before you even get to engagement, you need to look at your activity metrics, the things that you're doing to engage your audiences, and then the reach metrics that you have, where it's really about making sure that you've got the audience there listening. And so, yeah, when you're looking at your reach metrics, you do need to think about where your audiences are to make sure not only that you have the right number of people listening, but you have the right people entirely, right? So it doesn't help to, right now, it's hard to engage teens on Facebook because they're really not there.
They're departing from Facebook,
right?
In very big numbers, or they have departed.
Yeah, yeah, and they've moved to Twitter, to Snapchat, to WhatsApp, and so Do Something is actually taking that those demographics very seriously and chasing the teen audience where they've gone.
Now, interesting. You mentioned that they've moved to Twitter. I didn't know that. I knew Snapchat, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But more teens now on Twitter?
Yeah, it's just a conversational tool for teens. So, you know, Twitter, I know that we're on it for professional reasons, for professional conversations, but it's now just used for that. Direct messaging is more private, and so that's a feature of Twitter that has been working for youth audiences as well.
The DM,
the
direct message.
The DM,
okay.
Right.
Okay, excellent. All right, Shari, let's say a little more about these reach metrics and these activity metrics before we start to engage. What can you add to what Lauren said?
Well, one thing I like about Lauren's model that she's presenting in our session is that she actually starts before the activity. She starts with capacity. So it's really important to consider the capacity that you and your organization have to run this campaign. Be strategic about how you design it to make sure that you can actually handle what you need to be doing. And then
I think that's very sound. I mean, I think a lot of nonprofits will sometimes maybe emulate something that they see another organization did that was successful, or they more plan on what they'd like to be able like to do versus what they have real capacity and capability to do.
Right, yeah, exactly. And I think that the activity metrics in particular are important to pay attention to for future planning.
And what do you mean when you say activity metrics? What are we talking about?
Things like how many tweets you sent out, or how many Facebook posts, or the number of blog articles. You can tell I come from digital communications. The number of small events you run, mm-hmm. if that's something you're doing as part of your strategy as well. Because those things could be part of what is, it could be create a bottleneck in reaching your goal. You could find, if you do the analysis, that the problem you're having with reaching your goal for the campaign isn't with your reach, isn't with your engagement, but in just simply how much you're doing or the way that you're doing it.
You just try to tackle too much.
Mm-hmm. Too much or too little. And so by tweaking the activity metric, you can often make a big difference down the road in terms of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. Lauren, I see you're nodding a lot. Yeah.
Do you want
to add?
Well, so Sherry and I, we both come from a lot of digital marketing. And so one of the things that I've been working with some clients on is really not just about how often, a lot of people ask, how often should I be tweeting? Should I be tweeting every day? Should I be sending 5 tweets a day? And the answer I give them is it depends. It depends on your audiences, and it actually depends on when your audiences are online and are on Twitter, when your audiences are listening. So with your activity metrics, it, if you look at the number of tweets you're sending and you're still not getting the results you want, what you can do is you can try to increase the number of tweets you're doing, or you can look at use of the tools that exist in Twitter and other tools to find out when people are online. And instead of doing more tweets, do tweets at more appropriate times. So with a client of mine works with a lot of mothers, and they were doing their tweets during their workday because that's when they're online. Yeah. And it turns out that when they looked at their audience, that the mothers are not on Twitter during the day. They're at work. They're with their kids. It's when the kids go to bed on weekdays and on weekends. And so they shifted when they did their tweeting, same number of tweets, same amount of effort, yeah, just a different publication schedule.
The best tweets are like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And now some of these tools, now Twitter will give you that when your followers are most online or most active on Twitter. Isn't that within Twitter itself?
Yeah, Twitter has that. Facebook has that in their insights. And then there's other tools that'll do that analysis for you, depending on whether you've got an enterprise-level software or there's some free tools out there that do that as well.
Any free one you want to mention, Lauren?
I've been sticking with the channel tools just because, they tend to be the most consistent. With a lot of the tools that are out there that are free, they sometimes don't work consistently, or they aren't free forever, or they go away.
That's always
the risk, right? So it's the tool suite is sort of a moving target at all times.
Okay, so you're working within each site.
When I can.
Capabilities, yeah. Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
All right, so I love this advice about planning, spending time in the planning before you start executing and thinking. Okay, yeah, Shari, let's say a little more about that, or let's go from that to like the next stage. Let's start talking about what real engagement looks like. You've mentioned a couple of examples, the petition, perhaps. What are some other examples of real engagement?
Well, again, it depends on the level of engagement you're looking for, but for Volunteer Match, for example, we feel that anything that gets people thinking about what we do and what we can provide, one click for us is not necessarily engagement. anything beyond the one click, anything that's going to be a little stickier, that's what we're going for in terms of an engagement level.
What about, would that include capturing an email? Capturing the person's email?
Yeah. Email's still an extremely effective tool, especially for nonprofits. Anyone that tells you differently, I don't know, is lying or in denial. Email's still one of our most effective communications tools.
Okay. So, let's say a little more. We get there's a little smoke coming in, or I don't know. Is that just warm air meeting?
It does look hazy.
I'm going to hope that's a fog machine for some dance party that's going on.
Yeah, I don't hear the music. Okay, it was just a little. We're not shooting video, but there's a little fog cloud that just came upon the stage. I don't know if it's cold air meeting hot air either, because there is a cold breeze. But I don't know. All right, we're giving listeners the full experience. You can't see it, but we want you to know that it's happening. If you can't hide it, flaunt it. Well, I guess I could have hidden it because you can't see it, but I feel like flaunting it anyway. All right, so the little cloud is going. It seems to be dissipating now, though.
No one seems to be panicking.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm gonna...
Right, nobody's running out. But if they do, we have to finish this interview. I mean, we're 12 minutes into it now. We're not stopping now.
You don't want to just go down
with the ship? No. Well, we may, but we're taking this interview with us and in its entirety. Okay, so let's say a little more now... About capturing engagement, Lauren. What can you add?
So, beyond the click is often where we want to encourage people to go, to really go beyond the like, beyond the click, to think about capturing an email or thinking about what action you can ask people to take. So even if it's so a lot of organizations that I work with digitally, they're not ready to have a big ask. They don't have a petition for folks to sign. They don't have a download for them to take. They don't have something for them to order, right? They're not selling a service or a product, right? Those conversion tracking, those engagements are easier for people who have something to sell, and nonprofits often don't have that. So what sometimes you need to come up with is a creative way to elicit engagement, like asking people to take a photo of themselves doing something in their community, or you've probably seen these a lot in social media where... people will hold up a sign and will use a hashtag to sort of indicate their alignment with an issue by saying something with a sign in an image. And that actually takes a lot of effort. And you can take that as a really big indicator of engagement, because not only are people listening to what you're saying, but now they're ready to take a personal stance, even if it's not a vote.
And then what might you do with this? Suppose you collect a dozen or 100 of these photos. What might you do with them then?
Oh, they're great to share in annual reports and with funders. The grant makers that I've worked with love to see people really putting their face to the cause. And those sorts of social campaigns where you get that almost endorsement can really mean a lot when you're looking for grant money or for when you're hoping to get a higher profile press coverage or something like that.
Okay. Excellent. We're trying to motivate this engagement. Mm-hmm. And so the photo, and people, I think people like to show off themselves.
Oh, selfies are huge.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Since the Academy Awards even, now they're through the roof, but they were popular to begin with, but mm-hmm. since Ellen took her selfie at the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Shari, anything you can add about, we're trying to motivate this engagement.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, the type of campaigns that Lauren was just describing, the user-generated content campaigns, are great because they are two-pronged. You know, they're double-edged. You are getting people more engaged and building a stronger community, and you're producing content that you can repurpose later. It's really such an efficient way to do communications for a nonprofit. And what I've found is that engagement of this type is very similar to fundraising in that you have to get over this innate barrier that we have, thinking that people don't want to hear from you. Mm. People initially took that first step, that like, that click. They gave you your email because they care. They care about your nonprofit, your cause, your message, or at least they did at that point. So find that kernel and give them another way to get involved. Show them how they can continue to nurture that sense of caring that they had. it's not a, like Lauren said, we're not selling to people. We're enabling them to do something that they already care about. We just can't miss that chance. We have to continue engaging people where they are in the way that they want to be engaged.
Excellent. I wish listeners could see your face. I'm so passionate about, but I think they can hear, I think I'm confident they can hear it in your words, how passionate you are about that. It's outstanding. Really. Let's move to the other part of your workshop, which is measuring this engagement. And let's stay with you. Go ahead, Shari. What can you tell us about it?
Measure the right things. So your metrics, especially the major ones that are going to define success, should grow directly from your goals, your organizational goals, as well as the goals of the campaign. Think very strategically about this. Otherwise, you're going to get bogged down in Facebook Insights and Google Analytics, and you're never going to find your way out.
All right. So look closely at what the goals of the campaign are, mm-hmm. and find true measures of success around that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we define it any clearer? I don't know.
Well,
I like to leave listeners with things they can execute, yeah. Not theory. And I don't feel like we're at the theory level, but can we drill down even more into the tactics?
Yeah, well, it really helps to start with a SMART goal. To have a goal that has metrics already built into it. So when you're setting out your strategy for your communications, for example, you have to think about what your organization is trying to achieve, the impact it's trying to have, and then you want to make it SMART. You want to make it specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and... Well, people say time bound, but I like to say thrilling.
Oh, cool! Oh, you changed your SMART.
Oh, yeah. I own it.
SMART has been redefined. Okay,
yeah.
Thrilling.
Yeah. If your goals are thrilling, then your team's going to stay motivated to do them, but also to measure them because they're going to be more meaningful if they're exciting. And a thrilling goal is actually going to lead to a more thrilling campaign and to more thrilling communications. And ultimately, if your communications are thrilling, they're going to be a lot more engaging. So you're just bound to have better results if you're excited. And because SMART goals can get a little wonky and a little dry, and we don't want that. We're supposed to be passionate about the change we're trying to create in this world. So SMART, thrilling goals get you there. And if you build in the metrics into these SMART goals, then it's a lot easier for you to figure out what to measure as you're going along.
Mm, okay, and let's keep drilling down into what are some examples of unwise. Well, okay, I know you're going to say it all depends what your campaign was. So that answer is barred. You can't because otherwise we have to end here, and I don't want to end. I know you have more to say.
Yeah.
So say it. Say let's say more about measuring the right stuff. I'll leave it to you.
You need to measure people. You need to measure the people that you change, the minds that you imbue with knowledge. You need to measure the way that people behave and what changes about them. And it's not about pure audience numbers, right? It's not about the size of your crowd. It's about the quality. And so we're really trying to look at whether or not you've made an improvement in people's lives. Those are the things that ultimately you really want to measure the most. Now, you might not be able to do that because... surveys are expensive and field studies are expensive, but you can look at indicators for those behaviors. So one of the examples that I use is organizations who are trying to ramp up civic engagement in their community. Civic engagement's kind of hard to measure and it's pretty vague, but you can have a proxy measure, which is voter registrations. So you can actually see if you have more civic engagement in your community by measuring voter registration rates and then actual voting rates in elections. And you can take that as a sign that you've had an influence on people, which is what you're going for.
Any online tools that you can offer, tools or sites or resources that you can offer, either of you, for this helping you measure?
So one that we always point people to is Google Analytics, because so much of what we ask people to do, especially if you're doing digital marketing communications, is through our websites. And if you use Google Analytics and you set up your goals and your conversions in Google Analytics, you can actually track whether people are taking meaningful actions on your website. So it's not just about page views, but it can be about how long people spend reading your content, whether they look at more than one page, the type of content they're looking at, whether they complete a form that you've got on your site. So if you have your petitions hosted there, it is pretty important to make sure that you're getting people to take that step and push that button at the end of whatever process you're you're hosting on your site. One of my clients, they do condom orders for teens in California. And for them, it is really about...
Did you say condom wars?
Orders.
Oh, orders.
Okay. Yeah, so they give out free condoms.
What could have been a campaign? I don't know. You could have had a campaign around
condom wars. Is also now I'm very intrigued and I want to build this.
Thrilling. Make
that a GoDaddy right now.
Could be one of your next thrilling goals.
Yeah. They do condom orders for teens. So teens can order condoms so that they can have safe sex and prevent unplanned pregnancies. So it's a really big deal for them to track how many people come to the condom order page, to come to that form and actually fill out the form. And so that's a meaningful metric for them. And anything they can do to improve and increase that completion rate of that form is a really big strategy for them. They want to take it from 50% up to 75% because that just means that they're creating less barriers for people to take that action.
Okay. Yeah. Shari, anything you want to add about using Google Analytics at this point, and then we can go a little further?
Yeah, it's an invaluable tool for Volunteer Match, not just at the campaign level in terms of online marketing, but for our entire organization. Our benchmarks are built off of Google Analytics conversions and goals. Like I said, we work to connect nonprofits with volunteers, and we measure those connections on our website and then translate that into meaningful insights about the impact we're having in the world.
And how often are you looking at the analytics?
Well, on an organization-wide level, we do that quarterly. So we have quarterly reports that show, you know, how much social value are we creating. On a team level, we look overall about once a month. Certain tools, of course, are more often. Twitter is certainly a weekly tool, if not more often than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can we go beyond Google Analytics? You have recommendations for tools beyond Google Analytics?
You know, one of the ones is any sort of click tracking that you can use for social media. So whether it's usually a URL shortener like Bitly, or you may have a custom one built into your site, where you shorten the links you can share socially, and then you can see how many times they've been clicked, and then you can also see which tweets or which shares on Facebook are the things that cause those clicks. And it's not about tracking every single tweet or every single share. So with the client who works with condom orders for teens, they track that topic more closely than they track all of their other social media efforts. So that helps them not get bogged down by tracking too many things. And the clicks themselves aren't always the end result that they're looking for, but they can see whether or not particular messages are helping direct people to their website, which is where more information is living.
Since video is so common, how are the analytics in YouTube, either of you? Helpful or in terms of, I don't know, a basic one is how long someone watches a video. So can that be instructive to how long your videos ought to be? I don't know. YouTube analytics, helpful or so-so?
It can be helpful. One of the organizations that I like to look at because they have really great resources looking at their engagement levels is Upworthy. And so they host a lot of videos on their sites, and they're looking at what they're calling attention minutes, which isn't just about the page views that they generate through the sharing that they do of really good messages, but they also look at how long people stay on the page. They look at if they play the video, if they watch it all the way through. It's interesting, people's behavior on YouTube generally has changed. It used to be short videos were the way to go, so less than 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And YouTube itself has been doing some analytics of their data, and they've realized that longer videos on YouTube often have the best engagement level. People are really looking at YouTube as almost kind of like TV now. So it doesn't have to be short. But again, it's really about what your audiences are interested in. If your audience is on mobile phones, they may not be interested in watching a 15-minute video.
Okay. All right, we're going to wrap up. But Shari, anything you want to leave us with around measuring the right stuff and motivating this engagement?
Yeah, I just have one final thought, and it's something that I've been discovering myself more and more as I ramp up Volunteer Matches engagement and measurement.
I love personal discovery. Yeah.
We're not in this alone, and the best resource is the brilliance and the tools that have been created by people before us. There are people, there are nonprofits that are doing a great job of this. So talk to coworkers, talk to peers, join LinkedIn groups, join meetup groups in your area, and talk to people about what they're doing because you can copy them.
We're going to leave it there. Copycats. But you know, good advice, really. I love the way you, both of you are passionate and thinking about this on behalf of small and mid-sized charities. It's really inspiring.
Thanks.
It is. Thank you. You'll have a great session. Don't worry. And I bet this helped. Lauren Gerardin is a marketing and communications consultant, and I heard her say she's based in New York City. Is that right?
I'm based in San Francisco, but I spend a lot of time in New York.
Based in San Francisco. And what's your Twitter ID?
Gerardin L. G-I-R-A-R-D-I-N-L.
Thank you. Shari Ilson, Director of Engagement for Volunteer Match. What's your ID on Twitter, Shari?
Silsen, S-I-L-S-E-N.
Thank you again both very much.
Thank you, Tony.
It's Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of 14 NTC. The Nonprofit Technology Conference 2014. Thanks very much for being with us.
Of course, I'm grateful to everyone at NTC and the Nonprofit Technology Network. Love those folks. Generosity Series. They host multi-charity, peer-to-peer 5K runs and walks. If you're using summer, perhaps, to plan for your fall or end-of-year fundraising, they have events coming up in New Jersey, Miami, Atlanta, New York City, Philadelphia, and Toronto. If you think a run walk might make sense for you, then please pick up the phone. You know that's how I like to do business. Talk to Dave Lynn. He's the COO. Tell him you're from Nonprofit Radio. You'll get Dave at 718-506-9777. Or, if you prefer, on the web, generosityseries.com. It's summer in the United States. Are you taking care of yourself? I hope that you are. Are you taking real time off? That's vacation without work email, without work calls, without work text messages, no work, no contact with work. That is a real vacation. You're in a giving business. You work for a charity that helps other people. Whatever it is that you do around charities, whether you're in one or you're supporting one or a bunch because you're a consultant, you're giving to other people. And if you're going to give, you got to take. And I think take vacations. Please take care of yourself so that you can do that giving work for other people. Rest your body and your mind this summer. Disconnect. I had a listener message me just a couple of days ago. She said, "You share your soul with the world." And I've been thinking about that a lot. And I think she's right, you know, and when you're sharing and giving to others willingly, it's exhausting and you have to take care of yourself. You have to rejuvenate. I'm doing mine the end of August. I've got my complete disconnect 10 days off at the end of August. I hope that you are doing the same for yourself because you are sharing your souls with the world as well. Please be good to yourself this summer. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, 25th of July, the 29th show of the year. Here's another interview from the NTC on Facebook strategies.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of NTC 2014. We're at the Wardman Marriott Hotel in Washington, D.C. With me is Drew Bernard, and his topic at the conference is Facebook strategies, finding supporters among your fans. Drew, welcome.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
Thanks. And thanks for taking time at a busy conference to sit down. What do you think nonprofits aren't doing so well that they could be doing better in their Facebook strategies?
You know, I'm a big fan of the word engagement as opposed to building fans, growing pages. You know, historically, we were for a long time, organizations were very focused on building fan pages, sort of collecting fans, and that
became the key metric. How many fans do we have?
Right. Well, we all kind of know that actually turned out not to be a great strategy for the organization.
Yeah.
Good for Facebook, but not necessarily for the missions of the organizations. And really the key piece. Historically was relatively a curmudgeon about Facebook for years. But a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, Facebook began to roll out some changes that allowed us to do some things where we could engage people on Facebook beyond like, share, and comment. And specifically doing things like signing petitions, running all kinds of different actions on Facebook. And the topic that we'll be talking about tomorrow, there's really three primary things organizations need to be doing on Facebook. First of all, they need to be reaching enough people. So there's really no point of participating on Facebook if you're not reaching a meaningful number of people. And it turns out that, as many organizations have learned the hard way, fan count and reach are not the same thing. Facebook doesn't send your, you know, each post, each comment out to all of your supporters or all of your fans.
Yeah.
You sort of have to earn every post that goes out has to earn the reach that it gets to, the number of people that it gets to. And the way you do that is by posting content that does get people engaging with it, whether it's clicking like, share, comment, or something beyond that. So reach is the first thing.
Drew, I'm going to stop you for a sec. Maraca, could you turn down the main in the back, because there's a bit of a buzz and a little echo on the black box. It's a button, a knob labeled main. Okay. I'm sorry.
Reach is sort of the first thing. Yeah. And without reach, and I'm spending quite a bit of time talking about reach, because reach, without reach, there's really no point. I mean, if you're going to reach, you know, a handful of people, you probably are better off drinking coffee with them. It'll probably be more productive.
Okay. Yeah.
The second thing, once you're reaching a substantial number of people with content, and it really is about posting content that gets people engaging with it, because you earn reach in Facebook by creating content that engages people. Facebook wants, they're going to prioritize content. They do prioritize content that gets people engaging with it. So that's the first thing. The second thing, once you're reaching a substantial number of people, is to really be engaging them to develop real relationships. So cultivating real relationships with people and not just like clickers. So historically, the idea that the key goal of Facebook was building awareness. We all know now that awareness alone doesn't really move the dial in terms of missions. So it really is about cultivating real relationships with people.
And that's a real art.
It is. It is, except we do it every day, right? I mean, organizations, individuals, you know, one-on-one, we build real relationships with people all the time.
Oh, of course. But doing it on Facebook.
It's not as much as you might think. It takes things like participating in the comment stream. So when a person leaves a comment in the news feed, so first of all, I guess I should back up and say that Facebook, for all intents and purposes, really is all about the news feed. Facebook pages are sort of an organization's brand, but really nobody goes to the Facebook page. Everything is in the end users, readers, participants' news feed.
Right.
And so earning a place in that news feed is the first piece, and that's the reach piece. And then the second piece around the sort of cultivating real relationships, it is an art, but it's really just more about paying attention to it, being thoughtful about it.
Okay.
This is not a place to come and blast out communications. It's really a place to come and participate in dialogues and discussions.
I like the idea of being thoughtful, and that's the way we conduct ourselves, hopefully, in our face-to-face,
in
our real-time relationship.
It really is no different.
Right? You want to be a thoughtful person.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
right. So,
okay.
And then the other part of that is also giving people things to do inside of Facebook that go beyond clicking like. Clicking like, share, comment, those are required. In order to accomplish real reach, you need to do those things. So reach is accomplished by creating content that gets shared, gets engagement. And then the second piece is giving people things to do beyond those things, whether it's signing petitions, joining an organization and thanking volunteers, joining an organization in celebrating victories, successes, all kinds of different actions, things that are more meaningful than just I like this piece of content. And what we find is that about 10% of people who engage with an organization's post will often go on to take a deeper action. And those are the things that really matter, right? So in the boots on the ground world, in the real world, we build real relationships with people by engaging with them over time and in deeper ways over time. A person first becomes aware of an organization and might start tracking that organization and then slowly becomes more and more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens in Facebook. So that cultivation piece is the second critical piece. Without that, it really, you know, Facebook's never really going to provide a measurable return on investment.
So we have the reach, cultivation. We're hitting
that's
three
right.
Main, the three main
the
points.
Three main yeah. points. Yeah. So cultivation is the second piece, and right. and in order to do that, of course, you got to be reaching enough people. You've got to right. be giving them things to do that are meaningful, right. and that relate to the mission. And then the third piece is conversion. Or capturing data. So, you know, Facebook at this point is only delivering, an organization's posts to a small percentage of their fan count.
Yeah.
So, you know, if an organization has 10,000 fans, they're very lucky if Facebook's delivering those posts to 1,000 of those. So 10% is a high number.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, you know, a year ago they were saying it was 15. It's down now. However, organizations who are posting content that's designed to be engaging are still seeing high levels of delivery rate. So that third piece though is about converting people into email addresses, into other types of data, so the organizations can track those relationships and get to know them over time. So one of the things that's super fun to do within Action Sprout is we have a little people tab, and we put this in almost as an afterthought. But what it does is we track anybody who likes or comments on a post that has an action in it. We track that person. We capture first name, last name, a little bit of Facebook data, even before they off an app or fill out any forms. And we begin to track their engagement and their activity with that person within Facebook over time. But ultimately, that doesn't really help. Facebook's going to you're still at the mercy of Facebook delivering your message to those people. Until you have an email address, until you have some other way to reach them. So the third piece is converting them and getting them into your database. So you can you can build a list of people that you know have signed given petitions or have taken pledges or joined you in thanking volunteers or donors or whatever those things are. But critically important is you can also reach out to them via email for fundraising, for to continue that relationship building. Okay. Off of Facebook as well.
And if they're younger, they might prefer texting. You might have a text channel, engagement through mobile.
Yeah, I mean, so Facebook is that channel for most people. About 60% of all mobile sharing today is actually through Facebook. And Facebook is Facebook is a mobile tool more so than the desktop tool anymore. For us, well over 65-75% of all actions that get taken are actually taken on either mobile devices or tablets. So the percentage of activity on Facebook that's happening on the desktop is dropping dramatically. Facebook's been investing a lot, as we all saw with their WhatsApp acquisition, in mobile. I mean, that's their top. Between monetizing the news feed and really figuring out the mobile piece, that really is the two priorities I would say that Facebook has.
Okay. All right, so let's spend a little time, a little more detail in each of these three areas that you outlined, Drew. So reaching, you phrase it as earning a place in their newsfeed. Can you share some more detail? How do we earn that spot?
Yeah, I mean, so content is king, just as in any communication channel. Understanding how to create great content that is highly effective with your target audience is key. And the way we advise the organizations who use Action Sprout is we talk about an 80-20 rule. We highly recommend that roughly 80% of the content that an organization pushes out on its wall has already had some evidence, has already proven to have some potential to be engaging on Facebook. We say it as having some viral potential, although the word viral is often a dirty word a lot of times.
Right.
But something that you've already seen work elsewhere. It could be something that, a post that you've pushed out before. It could be a post that one of your ally organizations has been running that's been doing well, and you're learning from that. So it's content that you've already seen work before. So finding great content and either reusing it or using it. We have a little tool inside of Action Sprout and a free tool as well that you can get to on our website that allows you to go in and search any page inside of Facebook. The free one does. You go in and you say, I want to do a quick report on this page, and we'll surface the top performing content within that within that page. In the Inspire tool inside of Facebook, what we do is we track any pages that your page likes. So if your page likes 20, 30 pages that relate to your work, we monitor those and we surface the top performing content across those. That content is already proven to work. So it's already gotten higher than average engagement for those pages. So looking for content that...
And by the way, are those your ally organizations, the ones that have liked your page?
Not necessarily that they've liked yours. You've liked them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the key is to go in and set it up so that you're any page that you want to be tracking, you have in the system, and then we'll surface that. There's a tool called CrowdTangle that does something similar and at a different level, a whole more sort of much more sophisticated level that's also designed for the same thing. So looking for content that's already been successful in this way is key.
Interesting. And I like the idea that you're bringing in other people's content that's been successful. I don't think a lot of organizations are thinking that way. I mean, I think they're thinking we have to generate our own.
It's starting. People are starting to understand it. You're starting to see it on more and more pages where organizations understand that the way I describe it is, 80% of your content should have some proven potential.
Right.
The other 20% should be original.
And is this as easy as sharing another page's
sometimes it's as simple
post on your page?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's just as simple as doing that. It could be a great post. It could be a great meme that goes out. And the action, the call to action, could simply be thank this organization for their great work, right? So you could call out the organization for the great work that they do, and you could simply say, join us in thanking them. And that could be the action that you're engaging someone beyond like.
Excellent.
So that idea of looking for content that's already proven to be successful, reusing that content. Sometimes it's literally just copying it, pasting it into your newsfeed. Sometimes it's getting inspiration from somebody else's stuff.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at monty@montytaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at montytaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Kate Pala, Executive Director of Dance New Amsterdam, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
We like the idea of having a calendar that is not just a, thinking ahead calendar, but literally looking at your own, at the organization's mission and thinking throughout the year, what are the top dates? What are dates when important things have happened? Let's spin up some actions around those. Let's do some posts that celebrate, if an environmental group, the birthday of Yellowstone was one that Sierra Club did recently that did very, very well for them. And let's ask people to celebrate with us and take an action beyond clicking like on the post.
Okay.
So reach is you know, great content. I should say that 20% that you do of your own, the original content, 80% of that will fail. So that's the unfair advantage is to those organizations who are looking for proven successful content, reusing it or learning from it and posting stuff similar.
And if an organization is primarily using their own content, which I realize is not contrary to what you're recommending, but if they are doing that, and if your statistic is right that 80% of what they're producing is failing, then it's not 80% of 20%; it's 80% of their entire
content. This is of course using the flippant 80-20 rule, but we see hundreds and hundreds of organizations running thousands and thousands of posts, without a doubt, the organizations who are reusing their own content, reusing other people's content, learning from that content and tweaking it are far more successful than those who are trying to be creative every day. Definitely.
Why not something else that's sort of cliche, but, you know, why reinvent the wheel when there are multiple potential sources, these ally organizations, that are working as well? Why not capitalize on what they're doing and what you've seen be successful that they've done.
That's right. Right? That's right. It's important to give credit where credit's due.
Almost crowdsourcing your content in a way.
It is. I mean, you think about Facebook. Facebook is a sharing platform, right? I mean, the 99% of what you engage with on Facebook is stuff that was shared. And this is just another form of that. So reach, you know, looking for content that's already been proven is something that really does help a lot from a reach standpoint.
I'll tell you what. We're going to move on because we have maybe just 4 or 5 minutes left, and I want to talk a little more detail about each of these. Cultivating, getting, providing things for people to do, calls to actions. Say a little more about this.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what actions. That's what the impetus for creating Action Sprout was, the idea that we finally are in a position now, given Facebook's APIs, for us to give people things to do inside of Facebook that have the potential to deepen a relationship. And so any action, you know, in creating a petition offline, it takes a lot of work. You're creating you have to go in, you create a form on a website. You often have to create a big email blast. It's the overhead involved in creating a full-on campaign is pretty high.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do with Action Sprout is create a very simple, 5 minutes or less type of action that you can give anybody an action to take. So, and the example I gave earlier, if you're posting a great meme from another organization, and in it you want to give that organization credit for that meme, you know, thanks Sierra Club for the great image. Instead of saying thanks Sierra Club for the great image, you can invite people to join us in thanking Sierra Club for their great work. That's an action that goes beyond clicking like.
Are you encouraging them to go to Sierra Club's
Not necessarily.
Page
say, in fact, it actually, if you click on it, if you click on that, you're being then driven into the app. Driven onto the app on the organization's page, and can complete the action with a single click. So that's an example of an action. You don't have to use Action Sprout to have people do actions beyond by any means. In fact, one of the organizations that uses Action Sprout is the Daily Kos, who's been running actions for years on their Facebook page. And what they've done over the years is they've trained their audience on Facebook to be engagers. So their conversion rates are incredible, and they have an incredibly active audience of people who want to do things. The way they've done that in the past is they've simply driven them off to a website to fill out on a campaign landing page, mm-hmm. which works as well. It's not as viral. So with Action Sprout, every time someone takes an action, we have about 900 that action gets shared about 900 times within Facebook, which is because we front load all the viral. But that's an example of an action. Whether it's a petition, a pledge, whatever those things are, driving action from Facebook is important. So from a cultivation standpoint, it's those additional actions beyond like, comment, and share that you can track that deepen those kinds of relationships.
A lot of people would call that engagement.
Real engagement.
All right.
Absolutely.
Just a minute or so, maybe a minute and a half left or so. Let's talk a little more detail about conversion, which by you mean capturing data.
I mean capturing data.
So we can be in touch with you beyond Facebook.
That's right. Yeah. So I mean, really, these things are all, as you can tell, they're all extremely intertwined. You know, without reach, you don't have any kind of cultivation, or reach. Right. Without engagement, you don't have reach. The third piece around conversion really is about data capture. And the data capture, you know, this was something that no one would even, is sort of a non-topic in just about any other space other than social. But the idea of really capturing and tracking the engagement of people from Facebook or on Facebook into your CRM is sadly new, but really powerful.
Okay. We're going to leave it with just give us a tip that's not Action Sprout dependent for how to convert and capture some data. Let's just say it's an email address.
Yeah, I mean, any action that you're driving from your any post that you're pushing out that's doing well or will do well, that has any viral potential, mm-hmm. that doesn't have a call to action that drives a person somewhere, whether it's Action Sprout, whether it's your website, petition form or whatever, that drives someone that doesn't have a link in it to do something beyond clicking like, is a missed opportunity to capture data.
Okay, and if you're driving them to your website, then there might be a window box that asks for an email.
Yeah.
The petition, of course, provide
that's
your email.
Right. Could be a simple, sign up. Could be
light
join
box.
Our...
Light box.
Could be a light
window.
Box.
Yep. See how out of touch I am? Window box, I'm calling.
That's right.
Planter. It's a planter.
That's right.
Put your tulips out because spring is coming. Put them in the planter box.
In the planter box.
That pops up. No, so, light
yeah.
box.
Yeah light box, whatever it is. So any post that you push out that doesn't have something for your most ardent supporters to do beyond that, the ones that are ready to do something more than just click like on the post, is a missed opportunity.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Drew
thank
Bernard,
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
he
you.
Is, Drew is CEO and co-founder of Action Sprout, which I'm sure you'll find at actionsprout.com. Drew, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure. It's Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of NTC 2014. Thanks very much for being with us.
My thanks again to everybody at NTC and the Nonprofit Technology Network. Next week, Maria Semple is with me. She's our prospect research contributor and the prospect finder, our doyen of dirt cheap and free. You know her. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find it on tonymartinetti.com. Please remember Generosity Series, Dave Lynn, 718-506-9777 or generosityseries.com. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz, he's at the board. He's our line producer. The show's social media is by Julia Campbell of J. Campbell Social Marketing. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Our music is by Scott Stein. What a thrill it was to have him in the studio last week. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour
at 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.